Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with today's White House visit by Yemen's President Hadi and discuss the fate of the 56 Yemeni detainees in Guantanamo who have been cleared for transfer with a lawyer for 14 of them, David Reams. He's known for his litigation of human rights and civil liberties cases, including a First Amendment challenge to the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, and he just returned from Yemen. Then we'll speak with an expert on post-communist Russia, UCLA's Professor of Political Science, Daniel Treisman, the author of Return, Russia's Journey from Gorbachev to Medvedev. We will discuss growing tensions between Russia and the U.S. over the decision to grant Edward Snowden 1 year's political asylum in Russia, and whether this will lead to a cancellation of President Obama's planned trip to Moscow in early September to meet with Putin after the G20 summit in St. Petersburg. Then finally, we'll speak with Orville Schell, the co-author of a new book, Wealth and Power, China's Long March to the 21st Century. He is the former dean of the Graduate School of Journalism at UC Berkeley and is now the director of the Asia Society Center on U.S.-China Relations. We will discuss the leadership's fear of political reform, repeating what happened to the Soviet Union, and the slowdown of China's growth and efforts to move from an export economy to a domestic consumer economy, and how much corruption scares Chinese consumers from buying local products. And joining us now is David Reams, a human rights lawyer representing 14 Yemeni prisoners detained at Guantanamo, a former partner at Covington & Burling. He is known for his litigation on human rights and civil liberties cases, including a First Amendment challenge to the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012. He's also a professor at the Institute for Law, Science, and Global Security at Georgetown University, and he just returned from Yemen. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Reams.
Thank you for having me.
And the White House just issued a statement after the visit of the president of Yemen, President Hadi, and they basically said Obama's reaffirmed his commitment to closing Guantanamo, and that President Hadi is saying that they're going to create an extremist rehabilitation program. I take it that's modeled on what the Saudis have done. Is that right?
Yes, the idea is based on what the Saudis have done, although what the Saudis have done has not been all that successful.
So what is that leads us to believe that Yemen, which is not a stable country, certainly compared to Saudi Arabia, which is pretty much tightly controlled by the royal family and the religious police, what is there to lead us to believe that such an extremist rehabilitation program could actually work in Yemen?
I don't know what it means to have a rehabilitation program for extremists. I doubt you can talk people out of ideology that they hold so deeply, but I think that that's all irrelevant to the question of returning the Yemeni detainees. The Yemeni detainees, for the most part, are young men who were put in Guantanamo, who had come from ordinary lives in Yemen. They have families, they went to mosques, they had work. They are people, they are individuals just like you and me. I have three detainee clients who went back to Yemen within the last couple of years. Two of them work in a honey shop in downtown Taiz, a place that sells honey and perfume and spices and the like. Another who returned is an engineer in an oil company. These aren't people who are going back to commit jihad. They don't have to be talked out of anything. They just have to be able to pick up their lives and put them back together after they've lost the best years of their youth at Guantanamo.
David Reams, the 14 Yemeni prisoners that you represent who are detained at Guantanamo, are they part of the 56 of the 86 detainees, the 56 that have been scheduled for release?
We have two or three detainees, clients, maybe a couple more, who have been approved for transfer, who are part of the 56. The majority of them have not been approved for transfer, and the fact that the others have been approved for transfer doesn't mean they're going to be transferred anytime soon. That's one of the ironies of the situation.
Well, that is my understanding. I spoke recently with the co-founder of Code Pink, an activist group who've been trying to get these prisoners released, and particularly the Yemeni prisoners. And what I heard from that interview was that most of the blame was being placed on the Obama administration, not on the Republicans who control the House of Representatives and have voted twice to block the transfer of detainees to Yemen. What's your take on it then? Do you think the fact that everybody's saying they want to do stuff and nothing ever happens, who do you pin the blame on?
President Obama has the power to transfer detainees from Guantanamo. He hasn't been willing to take the political heat for using it. That's the main problem. He continues to blame Congress, says that Congress has tied his hands, and yet Congress has left him with the authority to release detainees. It's really up to the administration. And I would agree with Code Pink that the administration bears most of the responsibility.
So it's really a question that Obama's making a political calculation that he can't risk releasing any of these prisoners in case one of them shows up again in some kind of jihadi attack. And, of course, if that were to happen, the Republicans would be all over him.
Well, that's one possible interpretation. Another possible interpretation is that he simply doesn't want to take the heat for releasing them in the first place. But whatever the case, he's not releasing them, and it's incumbent upon all of us to tell the administration it's time to start.
Well, I don't understand why Obama has sided with the original sin, if you will, which was out of vengeance and rage and without any thinking, and not that the Bush-Cheney administration were famous for their intellectual grasp on things. It just seemed that they just willy-nilly, they paid bounties to have these people round up. They just rounded up people in an act of vengeance blindly and threw them into this place down in Cuba and never thought of an end game. And it turned out that, 80% of them are innocent?
I don't know what innocent means because they haven't been charged with anything.
Right.
But the fact is that Obama buys the concept of indefinite detention. He thinks that there are men there who, in the cliche phrase, cannot be tried but are too dangerous to release. That is to say, they're bad men. And he has the idea that you can hold on to these people without charging them, without trying them, until you feel safe about letting them go. So it's that Obama has embraced the idea of Guantanamo, which was the idea of indefinite detention without charge. To that extent, you're absolutely right. He has bought into the Bush ideology, and it's too bad. But again, I think it's a matter of principle for him, but I also believe it's a matter of political convenience.
And again, I'm speaking with David Reams, who's a human rights lawyer representing 14 Yemeni prisoners detained at Guantanamo. He's a former partner at Covington & Burling and is known for his litigation of human rights and civil liberties cases, including a First Amendment challenge to the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012. He's also a professor at the Institute for Law, Science and Global Security at Georgetown University, and he just returned from Yemen. Now, the dean of the Guantanamo Bay Media Corps, Miami Herald's Carol Rosenberg, has estimated that the United States spends a little under $500 million per year to maintain Guantanamo, $454 million a year. And this comes out to $2.7 million per prisoner per year. And by comparison, the state of California, the cost of prisoners are $47,000. A year to incarcerate one person. So I know a couple of the detainees were eventually accepted by Bermuda. These were Uyghurs that probably if they were returned to China, they would be disappeared or executed immediately. So I'm beginning to think here, David, that maybe, you know, at $2 million a year, you know, we'll make these people multimillionaires instead of punishing them. What's the sense of this huge amount of money being spent? I mean, in other words, if the moral argument fails, how about the practical argument?
I think the practical argument is gaining traction, given that we're in the age of the sequester and furlough of employees, of federal employees and the like. But it's really an irrational situation. Congress won't allow the administration to bring detainees into the United States, to put them in regular federal prisons. And at the same time, President Obama is unwilling to transfer them to other countries, and Congress certainly isn't making it easy. So the upshot is they're sitting there in Guantanamo, imposing enormous costs on the taxpayers, needless costs, no matter what it costs to build a rehabilitation center in Yemen, it's got to be cost-effective when you consider how much we're paying to keep them in Guantanamo.
So what's your sense then of this kind of bland statement that came out of the White House from the visit today at the White House by Yemen's President Hadi? Doesn't really tell us much. You've been quoted earlier saying, I have no reason to believe that any releases are imminent. Everybody says the right thing and then nothing happens. Is this a repeat of saying the right thing and nothing happening?
I hope not. I hope that President Obama is really working on this, and I hope that the president of Yemen is really serious about this. The problem is, or at least one of the problems is, no matter what they say, you never really know what's going on under the table. You don't know what deals they have on military assistance, counterterrorism assistance, economic assistance, that really sort of dictate the more public policy dealing with Guantanamo. So I feel a little bit modest, if you will, or tentative about prognosticating anything, because you just don't know what the real game being played is. But I'm hopeful that as President Obama tries to reduce the population of Guantanamo, he will release more and more Yemenis. One statistic makes it obvious. There are 86 men approved for transfer. 56 of them are Yemenis. The math is compelling. You can't possibly close Guantanamo or substantially shrink its population without starting to release Yemenis. And Obama's getting more and more energetic in that regard. We can only hope it continues and produces results.
But the point that you made is that your clients and the ones that were released earlier, then presumably you're just back from Yemen, there's no indication that they're going back to jihad. So short of the government's program, the extremist rehabilitation program, is there anything else that could satisfy Obama's concern for blowback?
I believe, I'm not sure that anything could satisfy his concern about blowback, because I don't think the Republicans will forgive him anything. I think they'll find something to complain about no matter what he does. I just think that there's a stereotype at play here of Yemen as an al-Qaeda free-for-all, and these men going back and, you know, picking up the AK-47 and the like. But the fact of the matter is Yemen society is a very closely woven culture of family, work, and mosque. It's not like being dropped into Los Angeles or Manhattan, where you're just sort of alone on the sidewalk. I can't remember if they have sidewalks in Los Angeles, actually.
Well, if they do, nobody's on them, you know.
They're really going into a culture where they will be deeply embedded the moment they come back. I have to acknowledge that there's no zero risk here. The Bush people said there was no zero risk. Nobody pretends that there's a zero risk scenario. But if you're looking at things in the large, these men will go back and try to resume their lives. Two of my clients, the ones who work in the perfume shop, started families, have children. They lead steady, normal, peaceful lives. I meet with them. I've met with them. They're perfectly normal people, and we've just got to get this stereotype out of our minds that's sort of a lingering effect of the worst language of Rumsfeld and Obama and Rumsfeld and Bush and Cheney from 12 years ago.
Well, David Reams, I thank you very much for joining us here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with David Reams, who's a human rights lawyer representing 14 Yemeni prisoners detained at Guantanamo Bay. He's a former partner at Covington and Burling and is known for his litigation of human rights and civil liberties cases, including a First Amendment challenge to the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012. He's also a professor at the Institute for Law, Science and Global Security at Georgetown University, and he's just returned from Yemen. We're going to take a brief station break and back talking about increasing tensions between the U.S. and Russia over President Putin granting Edward Snowden 1 year's political asylum.